Hey, it's Kylie.
Hey, it's Kara.
And this is The Glue Stick. The Glue Stick is a student-created podcast that aims to create community ties with small businesses and influential members of the Jackson community. This podcast is entirely produced by Jackson High School students. Okay, so we are here with Mr. Battles at the Carnegie Library, downtown Jackson. And we were just wondering, how old is this place?
This library was started getting built in 1901 and was finished being built in 1906. Which makes it 112 years at the moment old.
Wow. And it was built by Andrew Carnegie?
Andrew Carnegie paid for it. Andrew Carnegie is a well-known industrialist from the early 1900s, and he built 160 libraries in the United States, Canada, and Scotland, but he just paid for it. You applied, and if you had the things that he wanted you to do, like land and a staff, then he would build it.
How long have you been working here?
I've been working for the system for 6 or 7 years, and I've been at this library for 5 years.
Why did you become a librarian?
It's not something that I, always wanted to do. I kind of fell into it. I was student teaching, as Kylie would probably remember. Right. And the librarian at Dibble Elementary School was my neighbor growing up, and she had cancer, and so she asked me to sub for her for the rest of the year, and I really enjoyed it, so I looked into how to become a librarian and became a librarian.
Wait, that's so sweet.
Yep.
Okay. Well, what is the most interesting that has ever happened here, at least when you've been here?
Oh, man, we have all sorts of interesting things that happen all the time here.
I know, it's crazy.
What's the most interesting thing that we've ever had happen here? I mean, the most interesting story about this place, this isn't in my time, but the most interesting story about this place is the actual construction of this place.
Mm-hmm.
So the person who applied for the grant from Jackson was, and I'm going to forget her name now. shoot, if it comes to me, I'll tell you. But she applied, and when she applied, she wrote Andrew Carnegie a personal letter because they grew up in the same small town in Pennsylvania together.
Oh, that's cool.
And he actually had asked her to marry her.
What?
But her family was, strict Presbyterian,
mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't, he was kind of like a rough-and-tumble kind of guy, and he wasn't Andrew Carnegie, the richest man in the world,
mm-hmm.
Andrew Carnegie at that point, so her father said no. So we actually got, sent him a letter, we got the money and everything, and then she sent him a letter back saying we want extra money because we want to do this awesome thing, and she went and saw him with the letter and talked him into giving us an extra $70,000, which is essentially doubling the budget of this place.
Dang.
So if you look at all of the Carnegie libraries that I mentioned earlier, they all have one of three main architectural structures,
mm-hmm.
And ours is totally 100% different than everybody else's.
Because we had someone in the know.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's so cool.
Yep.
Okay, well, what kind of events does the library usually host? Because like you said, there's a whole bunch of interesting stuff that always happens, but a lot of people don't know about it.
So all sorts of things going on. I mean, we have, for children, we have all sorts of children stuff, the big one being Summer Reading Program,
mm-hmm.
Which is basically just encouraging kids to read by offering them prizes to do so. And during that time, there's also always performers. Kylie mentioned when she came in, she saw a clown here. We have clowns and jugglers and
mm-hmm.
comedians and anything like that. All throughout the summer, there's all sorts of kids stuff going on. Throughout the rest of the year, we do big things for kids, but for adults, we do from very small, day-to-day helping people with a resume or applying for a job or something like that, to bigger classes where we're teaching people how to use Facebook.
I didn't even know that.
Older folks, they come in and they're like, I want to use Facebook, but I don't know what to do. So we just, we'll get 5 or 6 of them and we'll just bring them in here and we'll just show them how to work Facebook.
Right,
and then
sweet.
We do big programs. Like the last Friday, we had an enchanted evening at Carnegie, which is, we had an art con. Last week was National Library Week.
Ooh.
And at the end of the week, we had a community art contest in here. And then we have a fair amount of really nice paintings in this building and then next door at administration. And so we brought them out and showed people kind of the things that have been bequeathed to us throughout the years.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What activities do people usually do in the library?
That really varies on who the person is. I mean, someone like my mom, for example, basically all she does is come in and go to the whole shelf and pull things off the whole shelf and check them out and then walk back out the door. But, you know, we have regulars who are here every day. We're going on the computers. We have people who borrow movies. We have people who come to just to the programs. Really, it just kind of depends on the person. But, you know, the regulars, for the most part, they come in and they will either use the computer or they will read the newspapers, or lots of them really enjoy reading. So they'll read a book. You know, usually they'll read a book in like 2 days and then start a new book.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, because we had an SAT prompt. We're not really allowed to talk about it that much, mm-hmm. but it was about modern libraries and kind of how it's kind of becoming like an internet cafe. Most mm-hmm. like the regulars, you know, they come in and stay for the internet, and then the people who really love books, they come in and check them out.
Yeah, and you know, and we offer ebooks and stuff like that, so you really don't even have to come into the library if you don't want to. You know, mm-hmm. I personally am, I like to hold a book as opposed to a tablet, but right. you know, like, you really don't even have to come in. The truth is that if you know, for us, for example, like, we just hired a social worker. Like, the purpose of a library is no longer really a depository of books. Mm-hmm. It's more like a community center, social services place. You know, we help
right.
probably close to 100 people a week with getting jobs, job applications, stuff for healthcare, stuff for, you know, child support, all that kind of stuff. So it's really a place, for the most part, if people kind of get stonewalled by the system, they go somewhere and they're like, you know, they're supposed to go to DHHS, for example, and I don't mean to badmouth DHHS. They're very good people there and they work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But they go to DHHS and they don't get what they need there, they tend to come here, and
right.
we tend to be able to at least get them to the place where that they need to go.
That's really cool that you guys are kind of like a hub and like
yes.
help center.
Yes.
Okay. How has Kearney been affected by the lack of library funding in the last 10 years? Because that was also like a question. Oh, yeah.
So, but that's kind of interesting, because it's a lack of national funding, but
mm-hmm.
that's not a lack of funding necessarily.
So it doesn't affect you guys as much?
It really doesn't affect us at all. In fact, our budget currently is the biggest it's been ever.
Wow.
That's because of three things. One thing is that the national, the money that comes from the federal government, they threaten they're going to take it away, and then they don't take it away. So, like, we kind of plan for that, and then
yeah.
it doesn't happen. The state of Michigan is very, very supportive of libraries.
That's good.
And then most library systems have a millage, and
mm-hmm.
we passed our millage in every county 2 years ago, and it was like a pretty large increase. I mean, you know, to the annual taxpayer, it was like $5 a year into their taxes. But, like, you know, if you do that for everybody, you're talking close to $1 million a year,
yeah,
supposedly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it passed no problem. Every single county it passed in.
And last question, what's your favorite thing about the library?
I know, that's a hard one.
I mean, it kind of depends on the context of what you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
My general favorite thing about working here is the fact that my, like, kind of first memory that I can think of as a child is walking up the stairs, the white stairs, with my mom, because my mom was a school teacher during summertime.
Right.
And, you know, like, that's, you know, when I tell that story to people who work in other libraries, it makes them jealous. Like, I get to work at the library that, like, created almost my very first memory that I can come to. If you're just talking, like, about working here, I really enjoy helping people. I don't get as much a chance that I used to sit at the desk and help people, but, like, when I'm feeling like my job is too much, like, meetings and stuff like that, I just go sit at the desk for a couple hours and help two people with their job applications, and then I feel good about myself, so.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, it's an awesome gig.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. We really appreciate all that you do, and we appreciate that you are here for this interview.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sticking around. Tune in next time for the next episode of The Glue Stick. Contact us at thegluestick.jhs@gmail.com if you or your local business is interested in being featured on our next episode.